Please be seated. We've been talking this week in chapel about love. So just for kicks, the other day I Googled the word love. You want to guess how many hits I came back with? About 7,240,000,000. Now, I didn't take time to scroll through all of those hits. I'd probably still be on my computer if I had. So I decided to narrow it just a little bit, and I put in the search, love songs. Well, that was only about 43.5 million hits. Again, no scrolling on that one. How about love stories? Well, then only about 16 million hits. How about the question, what is love? Only about 13.5 million hits. What is love? That's a question with which many have wrestled with through the centuries. Perhaps you've wrestled with it as you try to find a mate for the long term or stay with someone for the long term. How do we know we're in love? Other questions about love. What does it mean to truly be in love? How do we stay in love? How is it that we can find someone who's in love with us? Is it possible to be in love with one person or two persons at the same time? Now, we may not be able to answer all of those questions sufficiently, but that one question, what is love? We as Christians have the best answer to that question because God Himself tells us in His Word what love is. In multiple places in Scripture, He tells us definitely what love is. And one of those places is the text before us today in 1 John chapter 3. Starting at verse 16, I'll be reading from a slightly different version and also only through verse 18. John writes, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Thus far the text. Now, did you hear it? By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. The he there, of course, is our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did indeed lay down his life when he went to the cross. And that shows us that love, first off, is self-sacrificing. Now, this really runs counter to the way that many times we view love. Many times we think about love and we think about, what's in it for me? What can I get out of a relationship? You've been there. Perhaps you are there. You want to feel loved and accepted by the person that you care about, thus getting something. You want to be shown that you're loved, perhaps by getting gifts and notes and something else that's tangible, not just words. You want the person that you love to give you their time, thus also getting something. And in short, you want to be loved. You want to receive love. Now compare that sort of selfish attitude with the attitude that Jesus had, the selfless attitude that Jesus had. Jesus didn't tell us that he loved us so that he could get something out of it. He didn't think to himself, you know, if I love these people, maybe they'll love me in return. Maybe they'll do nice things for me or give me things. No. Jesus simply laid down his life for us. His love for us was a choice. Pure and simple. We were not lovable by any stretch of the imagination. Our sins, our selfishness, and all of our other sins cause us to be repulsive to God. Our sins give Jesus every right to cast us into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But Jesus chose to love us anyway. And he showed this by being the one to be cast out of God's presence and to be put into that outer darkness. When Jesus died on the cross, the penalty that he was paying for our sins was death, physical death indeed. And yet the suffering that he endured was actually worse when he suffered hell for us, when he suffered being completely abandoned by God in our place. And how do we react to such an act of self-sacrificing love? Well, most of us here probably believe in Jesus. We trust in Jesus, that he did indeed die for us and that he has forgiven us our sins. And that trust, that faith, is not something that you created in yourself. It was something that was worked in you through the Holy Spirit working in your baptism or at some other point in your life. But that God created faith means that you are a Christian. You are one of God's people, one of his children. So now what? Well, we see and we trust in that sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. What difference does that make in what we do with our lives, in how we live our lives? Well, it's clear from what John writes that love is not only self-sacrificing, it also is always looking for someone who needs our help. Now, John gives two examples of helping people here. One of them is a little bit more extreme, the other a little more ordinary. He says that because Jesus gave himself for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, I'm guessing that most of us are not going to have too many opportunities to take an actual bullet, if you will, for our brother or sister in the faith. But that is the length to which we should be willing or are willing to go in order to protect someone else. We might see opportunities for showing our love for our brothers and sisters in more ordinary ways. John says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Do you have excess stuff? Everything that you own, do you absolutely need it? Note that I said need. If you were to think about all the things that you own and take all the things you own that you don't absolutely need and put it in a huge pile, that pile would get very large. Think about it. Do you need every stitch of clothing that you own, every pair of shoes, every electronic device, all those MP3 files? Do you actually absolutely need to have a car, much less two or three of them? So does that mean that we need to take all of our extra stuff and give it away? No, not necessarily. And it doesn't mean that we have to adopt a communal way of life and pool all of our goods together and share them all equally. But it does mean that when we know of someone who is truly in need, who genuinely can use some help, we're to show love to that person by helping them in some tangible way, by opening our heart to them and giving them assistance. And that leads into the final way in which John describes love. Love is an action word. John says, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's relatively easy to tell someone that we love them. It's much harder to show that. It's estimated that the average American man or woman speaks about 16,000 words per day. That's an awful lot of words, and I don't think that includes all the text messages that we send. But you and I both know that all of those words that we speak in a day aren't necessarily worthwhile or significant or worth being repeated. Imagine, though, if you were to do something in a loving way for someone only 16 times a day. That's 1/1,000th of the number of words that you speak in a day. Would you be able to find that many things to do in a day or that many people for whom to do some sort of loving action? Even if you're not looking that hard, I'm sure that the opportunities are there. Could you hold a door open for someone? Could you help someone carry something who already has their arms full? Could you help your roommate with a homework assignment? Can you write an encouraging note to a friend who's been down lately? Could you volunteer for a worthwhile project? You get the point. The possibilities of loving actions on our part may not be infinite, but it actually might get close to that. How? Well, if our love, our loving actions are truly reflections of the love of our Savior, His love is infinite. John says later in this letter, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus laid down His life for us. He laid down His life for all people of all time. And that is love, true love. Love that is self-sacrificing. Love that is always looking for someone to help. Love that acts. Our greatest need has been met. We have a Savior who has rescued us from sin and death and hell, and who has given us forgiveness of our sins and eternal life with Him in heaven. Having been shown such great love, show such great love to others. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Dear Jesus, our loving Savior, we thank and praise You for the incredible sacrifice You made for us, by which You showed us what true love is. You have rescued us from death and have given us life. Create in us such love for those around us that we may reflect Your love in all that we do and say. Give us and help us to recognize opportunities to show Your love to others so that more people may ultimately be drawn to You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.